Blog Talk Radio.
All right, how you guys doing today out there? This is Joseph Smith, man of God, also Arthur, the Revival of the Roman Empire, Devil Workshop in Califax, coming to you live from Revolutionary Gospel News. Today I'm having a talk show talking about the Kingdom of God versus Church. Looking at the first century gospel, what they were talking about versus what are we hearing today? And I've been doing some research and I've been studying my word, and I realized that the word church itself is actually a word that comes out of a Greek word. I mean, not so much a Greek word, it has a Latin slant to it. Anytime you're dealing with Latin, once again, we always know when you're dealing with Latin, you are dealing with the Roman Catholic Church. So I was looking at this word, and it's koine, you know, that really goes back to the Greek version of the Latin word, koraton. And I was looking at that, and also Greek word, kiko, klukos. All these words tie into this word they make church. It has been substituted out. The Bible, this is the word they substituted for the word ecclesia. Ecclesia is a word that means called out one, called out, you know. And the word cannot be translated into church. And what I was looking at is the first century message. I'm looking at what Christ was talking about. And trying to see how have we gotten so far away from his original message. And those words shed light into this. You know, when they first translated the Bible into English, you know, when you begin to look at that and pay attention to that, and you find out when you look at that word, corn or kukos, when it's like in the Greek, and like I said, it comes out of that word of a corn of, which is a Latin word, you know, has its root in Latin. When you look at that, it means Lord or ruler house. So I was studying my Bible, and I really began to think, you know, I kept reading, and I noticed Christ was never saying nothing about a church. And so it brought my awareness, and I began to look at the word a little closer, saying, what is wrong with this message? Because Christ, even when he told you to pray, his opening message in Matthew 4, nothing ever was talking about a church. So I began to wonder, you know, what is the thing he's talking about? He kept saying, my kingdom. Even when he explained the born-again process, it was my kingdom. When he said, this is how you pray, he said, pray that kingdom, thy kingdom come. So I'm looking at the word, and I'm wondering, what's wrong with this? You know, for centuries, you know, now we look at this word called church, and as I begin to research, I find out that that word has been inserted into the Bible. The real word, ecclesia, is being called out. Well, in other words, you've been called out to be a part of a kingdom, has been taken out of the Bible and put for another word that means Lord or ruler house. This happens around the time of the Nicene Council, between there and the 1500s, when the word, when it becomes to be translated into English, when they translate the Bible into English, what they did, they inserted that word, and by the decree of the Catholic Church, it was never to be taken out. Before, the original reformers did not like that word. They used the word congregation, assembly. And I understand why, because when you assemble, if we're talking about a kingdom, you're assembling as a nation, as countrymen. You know, what is a church? You know, it's a gathering of people. You know, if somebody can really, as I'm looking at it now and really paying attention to it, it's like a place where people gather together. But there's a problem because the true message of God seems to never be heard. We don't hear the first century gospel. And I understand why the first century gospel was stirring the people. What was wrong? What had made them so worried about the first century? You know, what happened that they were so alarmed about? You know, I look at that, and it's kind of funny because when you look at it, you begin to, it sheds some light, some insight. Because what Christ was talking about, he was talking about a coming government system. He was talking about your eligibility of your citizenship. See, we have been trained so well in these times, it's almost hard to fathom talking about. You know, and when you begin, and when you look closely to the scriptures, and that's the only real reference we really do have, when you look at those scriptures, you begin to see that what he was talking about was a coming kingdom. This was disturbing the Roman Empire because they were talking about a kingdom in another government system that was going to usurp their government. It was going to overcome their government. And we could pick up in chapter 4 because I like to stick to the scriptures because if I'm not really using the scriptures, you know, I could be talking about anything. Let's pick up where he was talking to Satan. In verse 9, when Satan, right after his baptism, I actually am going to pick up, I'm going to go back one little farther, I'm going to go back one chapter farther because I want to show you how his ministry started. He just didn't go out and begin to preach anything. Okay, and this is Matthew 3 and 13. It said, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan, unto John, to be baptized of him, but John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and cometh thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. In other words, he allowed him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting up on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So we find out Jesus' process of procedure before his ministry even starts. He is baptized in Jesus' name because that's one thing I'm getting at. I'm sticking to my subject and please bear with me, people. Don't lose patience. Believe me, it's a wealth of knowledge, and you will be blessed if you listen to what I'm talking about. And blessed with the word of God, not a revelation of Joseph, but an actual clear understanding of the scripture. So he's baptized, and he's filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay, he's filled with God's Spirit. That's how his ministry. And today, one of the biggest problems is that too many people are out there teaching the word is probably one of the reasons we're not really hearing the real message also, because they have not followed the process of procedure, nor are they eligible to teach you anything because they have never been born again, nor do they have a spirit. They have not been baptized in Jesus' name or filled with the Spirit. And there is a qualification. So people be out knocking at your door, Baptist. You have some Baptists, you have the Mormons, and you have the Witness. But are they eligible? You know, are they? Do they have any rights to be talking to you about the Word of God? Notice this. This is in Luke. And in Luke 24, verse 45, he says, then, in other words, then Jesus, you can read 44 because he's talking about the scriptures, how it foretold of him coming. If we're told of him being the Son of God, if we're told of him establishing the kingdom of God that will last forever, and how he crucified and all that was all in the scriptures, the Psalms and all that pertained to him, that's 44. Verse 45 is when he's dealing with his disciples. He said, then open he their understanding. He did not leave it to them to figure out, that they might understand the scriptures, what was written in the word of God, that they may have a clear understanding of the word of God, that there would not be a misunderstanding. So he opened their understanding. He didn't leave it to anybody to enlighten them to what was going on. Okay. And he said unto them, thus is written, it's written in the scriptures, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached, taught in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He said, and ye are witness of these things. And he said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, in other words, work in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So he told them, wait till they have the ingredients they're supposed to have. So he told them they would be witnesses, but after they had received the Holy Ghost. Acts 1, and we'll start at 7. And he said unto them, hold on, let's start at verse 6. You notice the message, how this message has really changed over the centuries, and we're not hearing what Christ was talking about. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time, look at this, restore the kingdom to Israel? Restore the kingdom to Israel. He didn't say, at this time will we begin our church. What is a church? We're going to have what is called kukos, you know, kukuro. You know, just several words all going back to the Greek. It says, his kingdom to Israel. Will you restore world dominance to Israel at this time? So they asked him. Now notice what he said. When he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power. He said, but you shall receive power. Notice this, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world, but after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So we're talking about a kingdom. What makes you eligible for that kingdom? Not only that, what makes you eligible to tell somebody about this kingdom and have an accurate understanding? Because you look at John 3, you know, the kingdom of God versus the church, what I'm talking about. This word that was inserted in the Bible, how it has distorted the very view of what Christ was talking about. Christ was talking about a coming kingdom. He wasn't talking about some place where we can all get together and socialize and encourage one another, but he was talking about a physical as well as a spiritual kingdom. You know, that's what he was talking about. And I'll stop by 17. I'm going to John 3 and 5, but let's look at it and what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a citizenship. I'm talking about a citizenship that is has to do with Christ. You know, that's what I'm talking about. And here, he talks about the kingdom of God. He says, now notice this once again. And when he was determined of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered. Now, where is this word church? They're not asking about a church. They're asking about a kingdom. They're asking about a world government system. When shall the kingdom of God come? See, whenever you have that Roman or that Catholic influence inserted, a word that is really have its roots in the Latin, then you find the Catholics twisting it. Because you look at the word kukos, it really means lord or ruler house. What does that have to do with the kingdom of God? That is inserted in the Bible. It was made a decree or edict or however you want to say that, a law not to be taken out. Because Satan in his craftiness knew it would distort the very view of what Christ was talking about. See, this is the problem. We have been misled by one word. We're running around talking about church. I belong to First Baptist. I'm a Presbyterian. All these other things. No, we're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about the nation of Israel who God chose to dominate the world. Not the known world, but the entire world. The real new world order. Not this counterfeit new world order that the Pope and the Antichrist is now working on. That's going to last for 3.5 years, and then it's gone. Christ's kingdom is going to come. The physical rival's kingdom is going to show up in the sky. We're all going to know who it is, and he's going to take the world. Those that are dead are going to rise up, meet him in the clouds, and coming back down here to earth. The Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. Don't talk about no heavenly pie in the sky that you hear in these so-called places called, they're called churches. So he asked, the Pharisees asked him about the kingdom of God, a theocracy, a government that is run and governed by God, his rules, his principles. Okay, so it should come. He said, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God come not with observance. Neither shall I say, lo, here, or lo, there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. He did not say the church is within you. He said the kingdom of God. He's talking about a government system. He's talking about theocratic that shall dominate the world. And he said it comes without observance. So it has, he says, and it says, restore the seasons. Seasons with an S. Okay, he told them that. He said, and this is verse 7 of Acts 1 and 7. It said, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons. This kingdom has two parts. What am I talking about? Acts 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly, without observance, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting, the Holy Ghost. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, okay, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, not a babbling tongue. People, don't get carried away. Keep reading. And they were all dwelling at Jerusalem, where he told them to wait. Devout men out of every nation under heaven, not devout men out of every church under heaven, okay? And when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and was confounded because that every man heard them speaking in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak it Galilean? See, they were amazed because they were hearing their own language. They were hearing the words of God, the kingdom of God, and what Christ has done, how he had opened that door for them. That's what they were hearing. And they weren't hearing some church message, you know, some tithe message, and this is what you need to do. And they were hearing about the coming kingdom, God's greatness, how he had raised Jesus from the dead. Let's look at John 3. So the message that we hear today has been distorted. Many people are being deceived. Like he said, when he said, what shall be the signs of his coming, of him restoring his physical kingdom, he says, take heed, pay close attention, Matthew 24, that no man deceive you. Many should come in my name and deceive many of these churches. They're not bringing the kingdom's message of a coming kingdom. And they got some out there claiming to be God witnesses, but they are not following the process of procedure of the kingdom, but claiming the kingdom. A lot of fake teachers. Okay. It says in chapter 3, John 3 and 3, says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he becomes a new creature. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He will not understand the kingdom of God. He's talking about being born again, a renovated mind, a renewed mind, a mind that has been transformed and not conformed to this world. Okay, and he goes on to say, verse 5, and Jesus answers, verily, verily, I said to thee, except a man is born of water and of spirit, just like he was, as I showed you his beginning before his ministry, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So you see, you got to be water and spirit. Where do you find water and spirit? You find water and spirit in the same chapter when the kingdom of God came about, and that's in Acts 2:38. He told them, Peter told them, he was given the keys of the kingdom. how to enter into the door, the ability, the door to open it. So what did he tell them? He told them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, how, in the name of Jesus Christ, for what? The remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Water and spirit. It's really that simple, people. It's not complicated. Revelation 1 and 5 says he washed us from our sin. Revelation 1 and 5, he washed us from our sin in his own blood. So there is the application of blood. It's applied through the baptism in Jesus' name. That's how your sins have been forgiven, has been remitted. And then the gift of the Holy Ghost has been promised. Without this, you don't have no right to this kingdom. You don't have the ability to enter the kingdom. You don't even have the ability to really understand the things that the scriptures are talking about in order to explain somebody about the kingdom of God. Counterfeit people. A lot of people out there with this counterfeit gospel that it has nothing to do with what Christ was talking about. Because when Satan came to him after his baptism and he was filled with the Holy Ghost, verse 10 tells you, in chapter 4 of Matthew, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. What Satan wanted? Verse 9 tells you what he wanted. Or 8, let's start at 8 because here we go. We're dealing with the word kingdom again. And again, the devil taking him up in the exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. So, we find out the world government systems of the day is run by who? So I'll give all of these things to you because it was his to give. It was Satan's government system. That's what's wrong with America today. We're legalizing sin. We're trying to make room for a neutral gender, a transgender bathroom, LGBT, whatever that garbage is. You guys know what I'm talking about. Where a man can't figure out if he's born with a penis, but he wants to go in a bathroom that where people have vaginas, okay? Claiming he feels that way. He has that kind of feeling, so he wants to go in that bathroom when he's born with a penis. As simple as that, you put vagina and penis, solves the problem. If you're born with one of these, this is the bathroom you go in. It's not about what you feel. But what is America doing? It's going about legalizing sin. The twisted mind, because this is a government system, Satan. Then they got these things called churches, was no more than really a government entity. The word religion, come from religio, which is another Latin slate, which means to tie or bound. They're bounding people under man's tradition, ordinances that they have no ability to change nothing. They're becoming religiously bound to these organizations that call themselves churches. They're not learning about the kingdom of God and having a renovated mind and knowing you can't live in certain mindsets, states, and enter into the kingdom of God. It cannot be that way. So we find out the devil offers what belongs to him, this world as it is even now. Okay? And then he lists the devil and said, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. And the devil leave him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. You notice a couple of days after, it says, verse 17, 4, from that time Jesus began to preach, to teach, and say, repent, for what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom. You say the church is at hand, people. John 3:3, kingdom. Except a man is born again, he can't see the kingdom. Except he can't even enter. John 3:5, except the man is born of water and spirit, he can't even enter into the kingdom. So the message of God and what Christ brought has been distorted through these words that have been inserted in our Bible. It's the Lord's ruler house, a governing entity, religion tied to bound. When you really do your research, and it talks about that in the Bible, when people talk about, well, is how you figure that? The Bible let us know that there are people who have tampered with the Bible, and they throw little words like that to throw you off. That doesn't make the Bible not real. It means the Bible says if you have the Spirit of truth, see, I have been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. So when the Spirit of truth comes, it shall guide you in all truth, not some truth, but all truth. So you will not be thinking, you won't have a partial truth, you will have all truth. Just like you start picking out things that really just don't fit when they talk about church. How is that? He's talking about a kingdom. He's talking about the dominance of Israel. And so Ephesians 2 says, wherefore, remember that ye, Ephesians 2 and 11, let me slow it down, people. 2 and 11, he said, wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ. Notice this, being alien, you were estranged from the commonwealth of Israel. Israel, people, strangers, from the covenant of promise, without any kind of contract with God, having no hope and without God in the world. But in Christ Jesus, you were some, but he said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometime far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ, by the life he gave for us through the baptism, where the blood is found, that life, how we apply what he did at that cross, how we apply that to our life, the blood of Christ, how we apply his life to our life. Now we are in a covenant relationship with God. Okay. And I'm going to skip down because I don't want to stay too far on that too long. I wanted to show you the kingdom. It said, it came and preached, verse 17, it came and preached peace unto you. You can read the rest of that chapter yourself because it talks about him abolishing and removing the hostility between us and God. It said, and it came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, they were even close. It's for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Where is all these teachings coming from? How could he possibly be all these different teachings and name but one Spirit, as Ephesians 4 said, and 3 says, chapter 4, 3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. They know whether you want to be baptized. It lets you see on the day of Pentecost what the baptism is. It's to be baptized in Jesus' name. Ain't no Father, Son. He says, in the name. What is the name? Okay? If you talk about in Matthew 28 and 19, it says, in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Ghost. What is that name? Well, they're talking about titles. He's talking about a specific identity, which you find in Acts 2:38. And that name is the name of Jesus Christ. One baptism. Okay? One God, one Father, of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. Back to Ephesians 2. So we find out, he said, the one Spirit. You know, water, we've got to be born of water and Spirit. Now, this is what makes us eligible for the kingdom of God. So now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up on the foundation of the apostles, prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. But we are fellow citizens, people. That is the real message that is missing. The eligibility, how to enroll in this water and Spirit, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, that starts to walk. And then you've been accepted. Your nationalization is accepted when you receive the Holy Ghost. Then you're part of the kingdom of God. This other stuff they put out here is all deception, people. It's all deception. So I hope you guys, it's enlightening to you guys today, and I hope you go look at these scriptures and learn from them. And go out and get my book, people, The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Devil Workshop, History of the Church, Rise of the Cult, The Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation, and Temple Mount. I thank you guys for coming out, and I hope you guys have been blessed by God with a true understanding of what his true message was. Once again, this is Revolutionary Gospel News, Signing off, Arthur Joseph Smith, man of God, Joseph Smith. I just thank you guys for coming out. You guys have a great day. Bye.